This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a wonderful day it is to be in worship together. This is Confirmation Sunday, and we have six young people who will be confirmed in this service, and we are grateful and blessed as a congregation to receive them into the life of the church today. So I'm so glad you're with us, whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us online. And I'd love for you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there's a registration pad you can pass down the row. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link that you can place in your browser that will hopefully take you to the registration page that is working today. Fingers crossed. Just a few other announcements as we gather this morning. Many of you know that our beloved Reverend Nancy Parker is being appointed to another church, and she begins a sabbatical that was already scheduled to start later this week on May 17th. So this is her last official Sunday with us, and she will be a liturgist today. At the end of the service, we'll take some time to say a prayer of blessing and sending forth for her. And then right after this service, there will be a reception in Reed Hall, and we hope that you will go and share a blessing with Nancy, give her a hug, and Jeff and Liam, and let them know how much we love them and are praying for them. The other announcements to highlight are printed in your bulletin, so I invite you to take a few moments to read those and consider what ministries you would like to participate in the upcoming days. And now we prepare our hearts and minds to meet God in this time of worship, God who meets us right where we are this day.
Thank you. showed up for Elijah in unexpected ways. God of the thunder and the whisper. God who sends us to do your will. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and that God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Holy God, you meet us where we are this day, just as we are. And yet, we listen for your voice. Too often, we fail to hear the gentle whisper through the many voices clamoring for our attention. When you call us to follow, to take up your cause, we make excuses or turn away. Forgive us, God, for the ways we miss or ignore your call. Forgive us for the harm we cause to others. Forgive us for the harm we cause to ourselves. Open our hearts to receive your word. May we be people, your prophets, your disciples, your children, in all the days of our lives. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You can do that in whatever form is comfortable to you, a peace sign, a fist bump, a text message. The peace of Christ be with you.
Now for the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Old Testament, 1 Kings 19, 11 through 15, and 19 through 20. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after a fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again for what I have done to you." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite any children in the sanctuary to come and join me up here if you'd like to. And if you're watching online, just get a little closer to your screen so we can have a moment together. Good morning. Come on down. I'm so glad to see all of you. As you come forward, wave over there at the front row to all the people who are being confirmed today. They're sitting on the front row right there. That'll be you coming soon in a few years. Good morning, good morning. Yes, today is a happy day. I know. So, come on up. What a nice big group we have. You may know that today is Mother's Day. And I've been thinking about my mother in the past few days and thinking about some of the things that she and my dad taught me. Some things that maybe at the time I wasn't that excited about. But when I was your age, my parents said a couple of things. It's important to take a nap. Got to go take a nap and eat your fruits and vegetables. Do your parents ever tell you that? Eat your fruits and vegetables? Yes. Well, you know why our parents tell us that? It's because it's good for us. We need sleep. And we need to eat good food. We need to take care of our bodies because God gave us our bodies. Well, the story that Ellie and Harrison just read was about this prophet named Elijah. He's one of the greatest prophets in all the Bible. He would speak for God and he healed people. But there came a time when he got really tired and he was just ready to say, "I am done, God." And so he went into the wilderness and God said, "Take a nap, Elijah, and eat some good food. Take care of your body, Elijah." And then God took care of Elijah for a little while and reminded him of what was important. So just remember, God wants us to take care of ourselves, just like our parents want us to take good care of ourselves. And take a nap, eat some fruits and vegetables. It's good for you, and it's good for everybody. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you have created us and given us our bodies. Help us to take good care of our bodies, to rest and eat healthy food so that we can be strong and serve you and share your love with the world. We thank you so much for mothers and fathers and all those who take care of us in our lives. We're really grateful, and help us to show that gratitude today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Miss Molly. Okay, if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with your families or friends. This way. Molly, you want to wave so they can see you? And all right, great. Oh, I know, in a blink of an eye, they will be there, about to be confirmed. So I want to ask a question, and you don't have to answer out loud or raise your hand or anything like that, but just a question for you to answer within yourself. Have you ever been burned out? Have you ever gotten to that place where you were so tired, overwhelmed, afraid, lonely, whatever it might be, that you just felt like you couldn't go on anymore, that you just wanted to say, "I'm done, I quit," when you just wanted to go somewhere and hide for a long time until the overwhelm passed? I don't know about you, but I have been there. And there's a lot of talk happening even right now in the wake of the pandemic and all of the things that we've been through together about burnout, people feeling burned out, whether it's with a job or a relationship or being burned out and trying to make social change, whatever it is, there are times when we just get burned out. And if you've ever been there, you're not alone. In fact, the prophet Elijah, who some say is the greatest prophet in all of the Hebrew scriptures, got burned out. Now, Ellie and Harrison read a little bit of the story for us, and poor Harrison had some big names in there he had to pronounce, but let me tell you a little bit about this moment that Elijah has reached. He has been a faithful prophet. He's been a healer and a teacher and a thorn in the side of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel were king and queen of Israel, and they had turned their back on the God of Israel and were worshiping Baal and were power hungry and doing all sorts of things that displeased God, and Elijah was not shy about telling them so. Right before this chapter, he has challenged all the priests and prophets of Baal, the god that Jezebel and Ahab had been worshiping, to a showdown on the top of the mountain. And God showed up and did amazing things, and it was one Elijah against all of those priests and prophets, and Elijah beat them all. And Jezebel was livid. And so right after that, she gets word to Elijah saying, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to have somebody kill you. You'll be dead before tomorrow." And for some reason, this great prophet who had been the vessel for God's amazing work and amazing power gets scared and runs off in the wilderness. And he goes and sits under a broom tree by himself. And he says, basically, "God, just kill me now. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm not worth anything. Just end it all right here." Now, I want to take a moment to look at Elijah's burnout, because he is telling himself a story. You know, we all tell ourselves stories. We all have this inner narrative, this inner voice that convinces us of things that may not be quite true, but I think are the source of his burnout. And he says it twice over the course of chapter 19. He says, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, but all the other Israelites have turned away from you, O God, and I alone am left. I am alone. And they are going to kill me. They're after me. There is pushback from all this work that I've been doing, and I'm afraid, and I can't take it anymore. I'm done." So that's the narrative that Elijah's telling himself. And it makes me wonder, when we get in those places of burnout, what are the narratives we're telling ourselves? What are my voices saying to me when I get in that place? "You're alone. You're not good enough. Nothing you do is working." Whatever that narrative is that gets you to that place of despair, depression, hopelessness, that's what was going on with Elijah. So that's Elijah. What about God? God shows up for Elijah. And I would encourage you to go back and read all of chapter 19, because it's a long series of things that God does. But God meets Elijah right where he is. You see, Elijah sits under that broom tree and he falls fast asleep. He is so exhausted. And God lets him sleep. And then sends a messenger, an angel, to wake him up and give him a snack and some cool water. "Drink some water, Elijah. Eat a little something. Take care of your body." And then Elijah goes back to sleep and sleeps some more. And then God leads him further into the wilderness and asks Elijah the question, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Inviting him into some self-reflection. How did you get here? What are the narratives and stories you're telling yourself? And so Elijah repeats it to God twice. "I've been very zealous for the Lord. Everybody else has abandoned you, O God. I'm the only one left. They want to kill me. I'm done." And then God puts on this amazing show that we heard, the wind, the earthquake, the fire. Even though God is not in those things, God is doing those things to show Elijah and remind Elijah, I think, of God's power and presence. And then everything goes quiet. And somehow in the silence, Elijah's drawn out of his cave. Maybe in those moments like that, we need some silence. And we need to hear that question, what are you doing here? How did you get here? What are the stories you're telling yourself? And so Elijah repeats his story to God, and God gently begins to tell Elijah the bigger truth. The first thing he does is give Elijah purpose again. Look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and anoint Hazael as king. I want you to go and do this. I want you to go and do that. Get back in there, Elijah. I got work for you to do. But the other thing God does is to give Elijah companionship. God reminds Elijah, you know, there are 7,000 other Israelites who did not bow down to Baal. It's not just you. 7,000 others. Look at the bigger picture. But I want you to go and anoint Elisha. I want to give you a special companion who will walk with you on this journey so that you'll know that you're not alone. And so the older Elijah finds the younger Elisha and places the mantle over him. And together they go out in ministry again. And one day, the mantle rests entirely on Elisha and others. It's not always going to be up to Elijah. It's not always going to be his work to do. This morning, in just a few minutes, we're going to be confirming you guys. You have been through the process of confirmation, and you're ready to say, yes, I want to join the church. You're joining all of us on this journey. And one of the things that this story reminds us of is that God will be there for us in those moments when we are done, exhausted, burned out. And God will remind us that we're not alone. That's what the church is all about, is to be companions on the journey. So when we stumble, when we fall, when we get exhausted, there will be those who can come alongside of us. And we're really grateful that you're going to be coming alongside of us on the journey. And after you've been confirmed, your friends in faith are going to put a stole, also called a mantle, on you. Just like Elijah put the mantle on Elisha, the congregation is putting this on you now because we're in it together. Elijah got back out there, and together he and Elisha continued to proclaim the good news of God's grace. There are times when we pull back, when we fall down, when we get afraid, when we withdraw, when we do the wrong thing. But God's grace meets us and will pull us back out of that place and send us forward in mission together. Thanks be to God.
As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team and pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us if you're watching on our website, or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pews that you can fill out and place in the offering plate. We'd like to remember those who have had surgery this past week and those who have coming up. Please feel free to share that information with the pastoral team so that we can pray for you. And we also remember those who struggle with illness in its many forms. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, today we come before you much like Elijah, waiting to hear your voice, waiting as we walk through a life full of blessings and uncertainties. We ask today that you would quiet our hearts, quiet our minds, quiet our spirits, so that we can hear your still, small voice. For it is in the quiet that we hear. When the distractions are gone and all that remains is you. Thank you for promising to never leave us alone, but showing us day in and day out your presence with us. And for those times that we forget your constancy, help us to trust. Your sustenance is far more than we will ever need. Let us rely upon the people you surround us with, our families, our friends, our coworkers, the still small voice of the stranger in the coffee shop. You are always surprising us by how present you are, and for that we give you thanks. It's in that spirit of thanksgiving that we lift up those things that sit upon our hearts, the things that lift our spirits, and those things that weigh us down. We offer them to you in this quiet space. Thank you for taking our burdens, offering your grace, and giving us your Spirit to guide us throughout our lives. Give us better ears to hear and stronger hands and feet to act upon your call, to live out our faith for the world to see. May the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be glorifying to you. As we close out this moment of solitude with you, we speak with boldness the words you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or the chat. For those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary. You can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
the great joys of the church, our baptism and confirmation, this morning I present Mary Priscilla Harrell, Harlan Scott Jenkins, Elizabeth Lindley McCord, Lillian Elise Rao, Harrison James Wilson, and Merritt Eli Wilson for confirmation.
A family in Christ through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiated into Christ's holy church, we're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so now, on behalf of the whole church, I ask each of you these ancient questions of the faith that you have talked about and studied and prayed about, and now we welcome your voices as you answer these questions. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will.
And now, members of the congregation and family members present, I ask you, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection to sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us now join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the affirmation of faith that was written by our confirmation class this year. It is printed in your bulletin. And let us say these words together.
We believe in God Almighty, creator of all, who teaches us and helps us in tough times. We believe Jesus is the Son of God, a miracle maker, and the Messiah who was crucified and risen to save us from our sins. We believe the Holy Spirit is part of God and part of everyone, the bridge between heaven and earth and between God and us. We believe the Bible is our sacred text that contains the teachings of God and is worth reading, but is sometimes hard to understand. We believe worship is a chance to raise our spirits and to connect with God and people by singing, dancing, and praising God. We believe sacraments connect us to the church. Baptism affirms that we belong to God, and Holy Communion reminds us of the Last Supper when Jesus offered himself as body and blood for us. We believe God's grace is amazing, has a sweet sound, is freely given, and provides relief from evil. We believe the church is a community of committed to God, where we come to worship God and meet people and work together to help others. We believe serving others shows respect to God, shows respect to other people, celebrates our differences, and spreads goodness. We believe disciples are followers of Jesus and leaders who teach others, resist sin, do good, and love their neighbors.
Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mary Priscilla Harrell, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen.
Harlan Scott Jenkins, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful.
Amen.
Harlan, I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Amen. Elizabeth Leanne McCord, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. Ellie, I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Lillian Elise, remember that you are baptized child of God and be thankful. I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Amen.
Harrison James Wilson, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Merritt Eli Wilson, remember that you are a baptized child of God and be thankful. Merritt, I confirm your commitment to Christ and pray that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you do, say, I will. As members of this congregation at West End United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? Say, I will.
I will.
As a symbol, not a symbol, excuse me, a stole symbolizes that a person is yoked to Christ. The confirmation stole is a symbol that these students have made their profession of faith, and they are yoked to Christ. The confirmants have decorated their stoles with symbols of God, with scripture, with people who have influenced their faith and more to help them remember God's love for them and their call as disciples to follow Jesus. So, friends in faith, will you please place the mantle or the stole around your confirmant's neck?
Confirmands, if you will turn and face your church family. Members of the household of God, I commend these friends to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you as we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
And if you'll turn and face me once again, hear this blessing. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning and congratulations.
I'm Connor, if you don't know. I'm a sophomore in our youth ministry, and I've been involved in our youth group since I stood where you are now on my youth Sunday. On behalf of the youth ministry here at West End, I want to welcome you as full members of the church and into our youth group. One thing I love about our youth ministry is all the fun things that we, and now you, will be able to do with us. We go on so many trips and so many retreats and learn about so many good things. I can't wait for you guys to join us on Sundays to hear all of the fun things that we do. We can't wait for you to get involved with us as we grow together in being in the loving light of Christ. Also, to everyone else in the room, we invite the entire congregation, all of you, to join us immediately following the service in Reed Hall to welcome our newest members to West End United Methodist Church.
And as our confirmands make their way to Reed Hall after the service, back to your seats for the moment, I'm going to invite Nancy, Jeff, and Liam Parker to come forward so that we as a congregation can have a moment to pray with them. If you feel led and would like to come forward to lay hands on them, if you've been especially touched by Nancy's ministry here, of course all of us have, but many of you have worked extra closely with Nancy over the past 10 years plus that she has been part of our staff. And we invite you to come forward and place hands on her and Jeff and Liam too, as we say a prayer for her. Let us pray together. God of the journey, there are seasons when you bring alongside companions that we get to travel with and learn with and serve with. And we're so grateful for Nancy Hawthorne Parker, for Jeff and Liam, for their ministry with us on the journey. God, words are never enough, and it's hard to say goodbye. But we know that in you it is never goodbye, but a blessing of sending forth. We know there will be opportunities to see one another and serve side by side. But now Nancy is being called to a new congregation, a new place of ministry. So we ask that you would bless her and equip her in that role, that you would be preparing even now that family of faith to receive this beautiful family. And we trust that through you, new and beautiful and exciting things will happen for that community and beyond because of the gifts you have bestowed upon this family. Help them to receive our love and most of all, your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We invite you to celebrate Nancy, Jeff, and Liam in Reed Hall after this service and let them know how much they have meant to us. Can we take a moment to give thanks to God for this family?
Thank you.
We have just sung of the promises we make to follow Jesus. We have witnessed the promises that these confirmands have made to follow Jesus and to be part of the life of the church. And we have been reminded of God's promise that we are never alone. No matter what state we get ourselves into, God meets us where we are, gives us what we need, and sends us forth. May we go forth with that blessing and peace. Amen. Thank you.